the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day, the Sunday before the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Sunday before Christmas, we always have this lengthy reading of the genealogy, which is actually, it says in the book of Matthew, more literally, the Genesis of Jesus Christ, connecting him to that same scriptural God that we hear about beginning in the book of Genesis. And so we hear Jesus' family tree, and there's many important things that we could gather from this, but something that I want to point out specifically this week. You know, I have a lot of people over the years who have said something to me, some form of variation about how they wish that they had a normal family. And I tell them that a normal family is like their family. A normal family has dysfunction somewhere along the lines. That's just the reality. Maybe not every, you know, nuclear family, but every family, when we go out far enough in the family tree, has some form of dysfunction, has someone in the past who maybe you don't, you know, really want to identify with. It's never as pure and, quote, normal as we would like it to be, because normality is, you know, we have problems as human beings. And there's no exception to this, including the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even his genealogy is normal, the way that I just described it, meaning that there is dysfunction. That's one of the reasons why we say that Jesus took on everything it meant to be a human being except for sin. He even took on the dysfunction that we see exists in human societies and in human families. He did not come from pure lineage, royal lineage. In fact, exactly the opposite. We see this depicted today by St. Matthew in this genealogy by him highlighting four women. And notice how most of the genealogy just lists the men. And there were plenty of sinners among the men. There were plenty of people among the men that were imperfect stories. I mean, even take just for example, the first one listed, Abraham. You know, we often think of Abraham as a saint, as we should. But even the saints are imperfect, right? And Abraham, remember, was the one who laughed at God when God told him that he would become the father of many nations in his old age, and concocted a plan to get around and try to figure it out so that he could do things the way he thought he was supposed to do them, rather than just submitting to God's will. So we see it, even in the men, we see that there's sin, there's shortcomings, and so forth. But what Matthew is really highlighting by pointing out these women, because you see in the family trees at this time, you didn't have to point out the women, but he points out four women. And he does so for a reason. Two of them were essentially prostitutes. You had Tamar and Rahab that were mentioned in that first section. Then you have Solomon. Solomon, how does Solomon come into existence? Through adultery. David begets Solomon through the wife of Uriah. So we have two prostitutes, we have an adulteress, and then we have Ruth, who was a pious woman, but she was an outsider to the Jewish community. She was a Moabite, someone who would have been an enemy, a rival of Israel. And yet she is brought into the community, the covenant community, as we see is ultimately the work that our Lord Jesus Christ does, is to bring us together under one covenant community, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, and so forth, as long as we put our trust in him. But again, Jesus comes not from what we might think would be the case, pure lineage, royal lineage, but he comes to us through a family, a normal human family that has had sin and dysfunction in its background. And he comes not just so that he could, you know, become part of the sin and dysfunction of this world, but that he might raise that up to the heights, that he might give us the opportunity to transform what has been in the past, sin, and dysfunction and raise it up and unite it to God. And so there's a couple of key takeaways that I want you to remember as we think about this genealogy and think about this sin and the dysfunction, even in our Lord's family tree. I want you to remember, first of all, that just because you are a sinner, that just because you may have committed some of these sins that our Lord's ancestors committed, even if you come from a dysfunctional family, God can work through you and through your family and through your seed. God recognizes that we are sinners. He recognizes that we fall short, but again, He comes to lift us up out of that. We have the possibility, even in the dysfunction of this world, God can work through us. And that doesn't make us necessarily holy, but it gives us hope that God, even amidst our sin, the chaos and dysfunction of this world, can still work and do His wonders. I always like to remember the story of Joseph back in Genesis when his brothers sold him into slavery. And they were concerned when their father died that he would take out and on them he would get his vengeance. He would get revenge on his brothers. And Joseph's response when they approached him about this, he said, "Don't worry about it. What you intended for evil, God intended for good." God works through the chaos. It doesn't justify our sin. It doesn't mean that we should go about and continue sinning, but even when we do, God can work through that. And the second thing that I want you to remember is that not only can God work through your sin, your chaos, your dysfunction, but He can work through their dysfunction, whoever they may be, your neighbor, your family member, your enemy. Just as God can work through you and your family and your problems, God can work through them as well. That's why we always extend mercy to others. It's why we always treat others, or at least that's the ideal. We always treat others with respect and dignity as a fellow human being made in the image of God, because there is always that possibility. And we don't know what the future holds for them. We don't know what the future holds for us. But we hope and we pray that God will work through them, that God will work through us, despite our sin, to raise us up and to bring His message of healing and salvation to this world that is in need of it, most especially as we near Christmas and the chaos and the dysfunction in our world, in our society, in some of our homes. We pray that God would work through us, despite our failings, despite our fallings, to the glory of His holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.